0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big night across the Scottish Premiership. Celtic announce Wilfred Nancy just before kick-off ahead of the 1-0 win against Dundee in what would be Martin O'Neill's final game in charge. Rangers score late, but it's dropped points again, this time away at Dundee United. And speaking of late drama and dropped points, Hearts have been pegged back to level. St Mirren rescue a point at Aberdeen, and there was a stalemate in Falkirk. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, you have Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dalziel.
Yeah, it just shows you how tight the fixture list is, Gordon. 5 games last night, 4 draws. A couple of good results in there for teams that were certainly needing them, especially Kilmarnock, St Mirren with that late equaliser up at Pittodrie. You look at Rangers with the late equaliser, apparently kick as well, and Celtic going joint top with Hearts. So a lot to talk about tonight.
Yeah, very tight there. 4 draws. Not a lot between the teams in the evening. I was at Celtic Park myself, just talking to Daz there off air. Wasn't Celtic's most spectacular evening, but they've picked up 3 points and they've pulled it back on Hearts and opened a little gap on the rest below them.
Did I see you crying when Martin O'Neill was going around the pitch then?
It was very emotional.
I'm sure I saw you wiping a tear from your eye.
I think a couple of tears.
And what about you though?
Frog in his throat. Listen, I think it's been fantastic for Martin to come back. I had to pinch myself 5-6 weeks ago when I'm sitting on the couch on the Monday night and I hear the news about Brendan Rodgers and then Martin coming in with Sean Maloney. 7 games out of 8, the only blip away in Denmark. I thought it's been brilliant. Semi-final against Rangers. He's introduced and used his squad to the full. And, you know, he had a perfect send-off last night, and so he should.
Sounds to me like that was a yes to crying.
Well, he was crying. He was even crying tonight.
0141 951 1025. Loads to get through, so you decide. Where do you want to start? Pick up the phone and let us know, Celtic fans, particularly those of you who were at the game last night, because you've not had the chance to react to Wilfred Nancy's appointment yet, because it came, was it about 50 minutes before kick-off? It was interesting timing, to say the least. I've got visions of somebody turning up. You know, you don't quite get phone signal when it's busy and just being blissfully unaware that you've appointed a new manager. So maybe you were at the game last night. This is your chance to give us your reaction. I know this has been in the post for a few weeks, but it is confirmed. As much as it might upset Simon Donnelly and upset you, Martin O'Neill is gone. So what did you make of the farewell? Were you there last night? What did you make of the game? What did you make of the job he's done? And what do you make of Wilfred Nancy? It is official. He is the new Celtic manager. He started work today. And I want all your thoughts, if you can, please. 0141 951 1025. It's some timing as well, as we've spoken about in the last few days. Straight onto a top of the table clash. Roma, League Cup final, and on we go. So all your thoughts, please. Celtic game last night and new manager. Pick up that phone. Rangers fans, how annoying was it to drop points again? Is there any positivity to be taken from the fact that clearly it was a bit better of an attacking display? You started creating much more than in recent weeks, but perhaps forgot about the other side of it, because it wasn't a vintage night on the defensive front. It's drop points again and you fall further behind. Give us all your thoughts from Tannadice, please. A few big talking points from that game as well on 0141 951 1025. Celtic, the only team to win last night. They were the only team to properly boost their league position. But maybe that doesn't tell the full story, because how big a point could that be for Kilmarnock at Tynecastle? How bad a point for Hearts? How big a point could it be for St Mirren at Pittodrie? Was it the 99th minute? Gordon Dalziel had long gone to his bed by that point. He thought Aberdeen had won it. How big a point is that, St Mirren fans? Can that be the turning point for you up there, scoring in that fashion? And a real tactical battle. John McGlynn going completely rogue in his game plan, totally different in his approach to try and stop Motherwell, and they did. But they both stopped each other, and it was a very, very quiet 0-0 in Falkirk. So pick up that phone, please. 0141 951 1025. To set the tone for you, though, don't adjust your radio. It's not a Monday night, but you two are getting put on the spot. Whoa, because it feels like a Monday. Because we had almost a full fixture card. So what was your result of the night?
I'm going to go for Kilmarnock. I think going to go behind to the league leaders away from home. when the manager is severely under pressure to show good character and come back. I thought that was a very, very good point and a good draw.
I have to say, Simon, there's not a lot to choose from in
there's
this, not, so I'm interested to
I
hear
agree
your choice.
With you, there's not. There's four draws in that card. I'm going to go for St Mirren. It sounds as if the second half up there at Pittodrie was topsy-turvy, to say the least. And I think they needed that point just to come back down the road with something from the game, and it was so late in the game, so I'm going for St Mirren.
Okay. I think you had good choices. Mm-hmm. One man's personal opinion for goal of the night. Who gets the nod?
Magoma for me for Rangers. I thought it was an absolutely brilliant strike. First goal in his senior career, I'm led to believe.
Yep.
And what a way to start that.
It's peaked. It was just downhill
absolutely,
from here.
Don't get me wrong. I thought the Dundee United goalkeeper comes under a little bit of criticism. I think he should catch it. He punches it out, and when it lands to him, the left foot, he absolutely drills that by the goalkeeper. So goal of the night for me.
Goal of the night for you, Simon.
I'm going to go Sapsard in the same game, early on for Dundee United. Yep. I've heard a wee bit of criticism of the way it was defended today, but I think he's taken that really coolly. He allowed the keeper to come out and just lifted it over him, and off to a fine start for Dundee United. I think that was a well taken goal.
I think at the end of a run of that length, you're forgiven for getting out of puff or losing your composure or whatever.
Yeah, and they showed real composure just to lift it over them.
Good point. Okay, howler of the night, who are you going?
Goalkeepers. All day
all
long.
Of them?
No, every single one. I'm right against goalkeepers just now.
Then.
But Aberdeen Meatoff, I thought, had a dreadful game. He's a top quality goalkeeper, but his decision making, everything about it, he just had a dreadful.
Did he get away with one on the disallowed goal?
Yes. Big time for me.
Think so?
Yes, big time.
Simon?
I thought St Mirren a bit unlucky.
Okay. What about your howler, Simon? What are you going for?
I'm going with the theme, goalkeepers. You can pronounce his surname, but the Hearts goalkeeper. So late in the game, and I listened to Derek McInnes speaking after the game and just frustrations about expressing that you can go and win games 1-0.
Yep.
I think he was frustrated that his team didn't see it out. And they almost did, but the keeper spilt one.
It was
one
a bad one, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he spilt
really
it and allowed Kilmarnock lad to come
yeah,
in.
Yeah, potentially so big moment for the title race. And let's finish on a positive then. Who was your top man, your top performer of the night, Simon Donnelly?
My top performer is the guy I shed a couple of tears over yesterday and tonight. St Martin. Martin O'Neill's came back into Celtic. He has closed the gap at the top. He has put life back into their European campaign. He's taken them to a League Cup final in all in 8 games.
Come on, forget about last night, St Martin. Forget all that. Forget about the goals. Forget about the goalkeepers. There's only one Saint. St Mark. St Mark Wilson. Back to back. Back to back. Manager of the month in the Championship. Fantastic.
I was going to say, Thistle didn't even play last night. I was wondering
fantastic
where you were going.
Fantastic, Wilson.
Oh, look at him.
He's over
teeth.
A moon
gritting
for
the question is
human.
Is he going to get his picture with the rest of the staff this time?
He did in the end.
Did he?
I think we shamed him into it.
Right.
Do you mean that? Are you genuinely pleased for your old pal?
No, I'm not. I'm so disappointed. See, when I heard the news, I could have been
back to back manager of the month.
Incredible.
Did you say you could have been violent?
Violently sick.
All right.
Yeah.
You could have been violent.
Violently sick. But listen, take nothing away from him. He's doing brilliant out for Hull. And long may it continue. Just for another week.
01419511025. Gary's in Blantyre. Gary, Martin O'Neill is gone. Wilfred Nancy's in. How are you feeling?
Hi, Gordon. Good evening, brother Gordon and Simon.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi,
Gary.
Yeah, I've seen a producer there. Eventually, Martin's gone. Kind of long drawn out saga, I think. What he's done in the last eight games, if he's come in.
Eight games,
he's definitely steadied the ship, and he has made it somewhat easier, I would say, for Nancy coming in to kind of take over the reins and keep pushing the club forward. But Martin O'Neill is, you can't say enough about the guy. He's still got that hunger, he still has got that man management skill to get the best out of players, because let's be honest, the same players were kind of rubbish for a wee while under Brendan. So it just shows that a good man manager can raise standards, raise performance levels. So yeah, obviously Nancy coming in, I am kind of excited about it, to be honest. I think he can maybe bring a brand of football that Ange-esque, maybe. But yeah, he's definitely come in a steadier ship than it would have been if he'd come straight in after Brendan.
What did you make of the send-off last night, Gary? I don't know whether you were there or you just saw the footage. What did you make of the scenes at the end with Martin O'Neill?
So I was working a wee bit late last night, so I watched the game in the house. And I thought the performance was the way we would have wanted. The result was that. That was the main thing, get 3 points. I think obviously the Finns let Martin know what they think about him, but that was never in doubt anyway. But yeah, it's so good that he came in and he's actually got the results that he got, because I don't think it would have tarnished his reputation or his legacy in any way, because it's been such a distance from leaving in 2005 to coming back. But I'm just so glad, mostly for Martin, that he came back and he's done an outstanding job. Like I say, he came in here. I was saying to my friends on the WhatsApp group chats that I fancied Hearts to win the league, because we were looking as if we were only going one way, which wasn't up. It was going down the way. But now I think it's kind of back to where I'm glad it is. Celtic will probably going to win the league, but that's no small thanks to Martin O'Neill's input over the last few weeks.
It's all quite surreal, isn't it? I know we said that at the start, totally. But see now, kind of seeing it, you know, once he takes over and you're over that initial shock or surprise, you're just into the routine of, you know, press conference, game, interview, next game. It's such a busy schedule. But see, if you took a step back last night, that was Martin O'Neill was back at Celtic 20 years on, doing his lap of honour at the end, saying farewell.
A reluctant lap of honour. Very reluctant. It's not his style.
It was. This has been the maddest season ever. We're not even at Christmas yet.
Yeah.
You look back on this and go, remember Martin O'Neill came back as Celtic manager?
Yeah, and you're talking about, you know, the announcement of the new manager as well at that time of the 50 evening.
Minutes before the game started.
You know, this is going to be the third manager that Celtic have, and we're just into December. Mm-hmm. And I listened to Callum McGregor and how they responded to Martin and his coaching staff coming in, and then, you know, they're going to have to do it all over again. In the midst of a title race and a cup final round the corner. So it's been, you used the word surreal, it has been. But the guys came in, and I think he wins the first two games. They go to Midtjylland and they get beat, and you know, all the criticism was there, and the search for the next manager was intensified. But he just kicked on and he just kept winning games, and I think he's brought things to the table there with players. I've wrote down there Yang back in, Engels looks back to himself, Hatate's hit a bit of form. So you can talk about tactics all day, but sometimes man management, you know, goes a hell of a lot of way.
It's not that we're deliberately not analysing the game last night, Gordon. It felt like last night was always going to be about Martin O'Neill more than the game, and especially the way it panned out. It was a significant 3 points, 3 points that moved Celtic level with Hearts. But there wasn't much more to say about the game. It was all about, like we said, what happened. Wilfried Nancy appointed Martin O'Neill, the reception he got before the game, during the game, and then after.
It would have been disappointing for everyone if Dundee had come down and basically spoiled the party. You're right, it was all about Martin O'Neill last night. You've got to say he's left Celtic in a far better place than when he took over. I think he was, what, 9, something like that, behind Hearts. Yeah. He's now level with a game in hand, as Simon touched on there. You know, just one disappointing result. The rest has been very good indeed. I think they showed great character, one of their best performances last Thursday, Feyenoord. Then to follow that up with a difficult game at Easter Road on Sunday. And then last night, it wasn't a classic, but it was all about getting the 3 points, keeping the pressure on Hearts, and he achieved that, and he deserves everything he gets. Listen, he must have been walking into that job those weeks ago, he must have been nervous as well.
Yeah, he said that.
You know what I mean? Because it could have easily went wrong for him, and then all of a sudden, you're thinking, why did I get back there? Yeah. But he showed the class that he's got. He's been absolutely brilliant.
Let's thank Gary for his time, his insight, and bringing Sylvia, who's from Dumbarton. Were you sad to see Martin O'Neill go, Sylvia?
Oh, definitely. I remember when he was there the first time. I just wish that we could turn the clock back and make him about 60 again, you know. But it's quite hard when you get to that age. His wee nerves would be shattered. I just wondering what. I was really worried about him. I think, oh my God, I hope he doesn't have a bad turn, you know, jumping about and all that. But I just wondering what the panel think of the new manager for Celtic coming in. in such a pivotal game. What do you think he's going to do? Will he keep the team the way it was, the way it's been kind of working for the Hearts game? Because, believe you me, that is going to be a stoter of a game, I think. Just wondering also what the panel think about Hearts kind of falling away a wee bit when they were scoring a ton of goals and it seemed to have fell away. And, you know, what do you think?
Good questions. I think particularly any managerial appointment's interesting, right? But this one, timing does seem to be one of the main sticking points for some people. What do you think?
Yeah, and he's got three massive games coming up, isn't he? What a time to come in. Yeah. And I think that is a big question that everybody will be asking and looking at the weekend. He likes to play a three. You know, it's well known he likes to play a three. Will he come in and stamp his authority?
There's surely no way he does that straight away.
Listen, Gordon,
the Celtic even have the players for that.
Well, they can put Tierney in there.
Three left-footed centre-backs.
Look, I think it would be foolish myself. I think he just looks at what Martin's achieved and I think he just keeps it ticking over and then slowly but surely starts putting his own stamp on it and changing it. But some managers might just come in and rip it all up.
What did you make of the timing, Simon? I would need to listen back. I was verging on 100% certain. I know not everyone agreed. I could never see Martin O'Neill taking the cup final back when he was appointed. And then even when they beat Rangers, because that's when the discussion around that picked up. I never thought there was any way he would still be in. But it isn't 10 days' time.
Yeah.
You know, now I've possibly changed my mind now, thinking, well, if it was allowed to get to this stage,
should have just given them the cup final.
But not so much just the cup final, the fact that, you know, that the Hearts game as well.
Yeah. Listen, I think at the start when he came in, without stating the obvious, I thought the results would dictate. And as I said, I think the heat rose and the pressure rose after the defeat against Midtjylland. There was a little bit of uproar, right, we need to get somebody in, and then they bounced back and they would go on this run. And even last week they're saying after the international break, these are three difficult games. I sat in here with Shug and we spoke about the three difficult games.
Did he predict Celtic to lose all three of them?
Well, you know, he certainly predicted the final. He wrote them off against Feyenoord, but they get the three results, and the Wilfred nonsense stuff went quiet for a wee bit as well, didn't it? And then it came back to the fore. So, listen, the longer it went, I don't know if it's the romantic in me, it would have been nice to get him to the final.
Are you in a difference now? Because I think everybody knew when Martin O'Neill came in, short term.
Yeah.
It's got to be short term. He's just there to steady the ship. Do you get the opinion that he'd have loved to have stayed on and had a real crack at this?
I think he might have.
I actually don't. Just a personal thing. I don't think he does.
I agree with that. I've said that.
What do you mean, though? What time are you talking?
To the end of the season.
Right, fine. Yeah. But would you like the cup final?
Oh, I'd have loved the cup final. Of course I would. But listen, the cup final's not a gimme. I know St. Mirren aren't in great form, but it's a cup final. But I think he would have loved
the fact. Or is there a case to say that you shouldn't bring emotion, you shouldn't bring nostalgia? If Nonsi's your guy, you get him now.
Yeah, listen, that's obviously how it's finished. That's how the club have went about it. Obviously they had to identify a new manager and it was interim, and you know, we spoke about will he go to the end of the season, will he win another treble, will he win a league cup, you know. But you can just look back and say, what a job in those eight games.
Did you enjoy just even having the character and who he is and the way he was? Like, I don't know if that stuff can last forever as well. You know, can you do the kind of returning legend, funny, relaxed stuff for a season?
That's not always.
Do you know who did enjoy it?
I'm saying it felt enjoyable for us all to sort of.
I think the most important people that enjoyed it was the players.
Yeah,
I think that different outlook, the different manners, everything, the man management, because he's not coaching, is he? Sean Maloney, the backroom staff's doing that, and they've been very good as well. Got to give them a pat in the back. But I think that dressing room every morning, his team talks, things like that. I think the players.
I know people maybe don't care about the media or how the media are treated too much. Yeah. I'm not naive enough to think they would, but a quick anecdote from Tuesday when we were up at the training ground.
I've heard this.
Did I tell you already?
Yes, I know this.
He opens the door to the press room before the press conference. He looks in, and I'm just kind of standing in his line of vision. So he catches my eye and says, "Do you boys get tea and coffee in here?" And I said, nah, there's no tea and coffee in here. And he goes, well, you do today. Come with me, you young man.
Pitch you.
Come with me.
young man.
And I'm going, right.
Okay, Martin.
This is a bit of a career low, being the tea boy, but whatever. And he goes round the room and he goes, what do you want? Black tea, milk and two, coffee. Right, he's going, write this down. I've got my phone out. I'm going, write it down. Five black teas. Drags me upstairs into the players' restaurant.
Tell me you made them.
They're sitting having their lunch. So I look like an absolute... wandering right, and they must have, what's he doing in here? Just sort of following Daniel around, and eventually someone came over and took the tea order, and luckily I didn't need to make them, but he arranged for it all to get brought back down. Just a small, simple gesture, but
small things like that mean a lot around about a football club. I'll bet you when he walked in there, the people that haven't been heard of or seen for a long while, he made them feel 100.
Yeah.
I've said it before, I
met him through some events, and I'd spent 3 days with him. It was the first time I'd really been in his company. Charismatic guy, really good company, great stories, but the football side of it, I've only went on old teammates telling me, and that's, I said it on this show before, the magic happens in the dressing room. Now, I'm not just saying that he just goes in, but it makes people feel good about themselves. And you look at the team, they were flat when he came in, flat, and he turned it round. The boy's performing.
But it's about Wilfred Nancy now. So what are you all thinking? Thank you, Sylvia. Good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's 0141 951 1025. You can join in. Let us know what you are thinking this evening. Let's hear a bit from Martin O'Neill. Talking after leaving Celtic for the second time last night. It was clearly an emotional evening for the outgoing Celtic manager. Let's hear from Martin O'Neill.
But I think I've left the players in good heart and a bit of confidence about themselves now. That's been brilliant. I must admit, even to cut the gap but at all during the time would have been decent, but to bring it right back, that is fantastic. And that, as I said, going forward, the games they'll not be easy games.
Let's bring in who was through first. There's a couple. Charlie is on the line. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Gordon. Simon and Gordon, how are you?
Charlie. Hi, Charlie.
How are you, Charlie?
I was at the game last night, and see this sack of board stuff? It's really boring. I mean, the board aren't going to go anywhere. I've actually heard the Celtic fans arguing amongst themselves about it, which is crazy. But on Wilfred Nancy, I can't wait till this guy starts. I'm quite excited about this. I've done a wee bit of research on him, and he's just attack, attack, attack. That's what we want at Celtic Park. We don't want this passing back all the time because it's tedious.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the hope, and that's what they all... Yeah. Set out to do that generally these days, and that's what they aim to do. That's why Ange Postecoglou was so revered, because we know the tactical challenges that face you in Scotland. Yeah. It can't be slow, even if it's intricate. It needs to be quick because teams will try and frustrate you. Brendan Rodgers clearly had it down at the start of last season as well, which sometimes gets forgotten.
Definitely.
Can Wilfred Nancy do it?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. From a Celtic point of view, I hope so. I don't know much about the guy. It's interesting to see, just you're talking about coming in and changing the shape. I don't see him doing that straight away. I think I probably agree with Daz that he'll come in and get a feel for it at the start, because, you know, in the last little period that's been working for Celtic, they've been getting results. It's a huge week. I don't remember this situation happening before, where somebody comes in at this stage of the season with three huge games in 1 week for the guy to welcome to the club. So... I hope he hits the ground running, but I don't see him making wholesale changes at the start.
Let's not be kidding. He'll have done his homework. Yeah. He'll know everything about the team, everything, how they play, the strengths and weaknesses. He'll have done all that. He'll tick those boxes. He'll go on the training ground probably tomorrow with them, Gordon, get a wee feel for him as well. And look, three brilliant games for him, isn't they? all of a sudden next week he could have won his first trophy. You know, it's incredible. He's got Roma, he's got Hearts, he could be top of the league, he could get a good result in Europe and then win the cup. And all of a sudden you're thinking, it's the best decision that Celtic have made in a long, long time. Yeah. And he'll just carry that on for Martin O'Neill. But it is three big, big games. I'm the same. I agree with Charlie. We don't know a lot about him, Gordon. We just hear things about him, the way he likes to play. I'm looking forward to see what he's going to bring to Celtic.
Because Charlie, it feels like a lot of Celtic fans at the moment are in two minds, because maybe they would have preferred to keep Martin O'Neill for a while, but you're comfortable with it. Time to move on.
Everybody loves Martin O'Neill. I mean, what that guy done for your club was unbelievable. And even for his wee short term there, it was phenomenal. He brought a bit of fight back into the team. And I wish Martin well and everything he does now.
Yeah, and listen, like we said, there'll just be a divide there. It's no right or wrong. People have got their own personal feelings. That's the bit that everybody's united on in the Celtic support. They all love Martin O'Neill. For some people, that's a love that they're comfortable with saying goodbye to for now, and for others, they maybe want that to last a bit longer.
I certainly get it with the Celtic fans thinking, oh, I wish we'd have a little bit more of Martin O'Neill because of what he's achieved coming in. I think the players will be the same. But you're right, Gordon, earlier. If you're going to go and say, right, we need a permanent manager, we've got a big January window coming up as well, we've just went level points with Hearts, we've got a massive week coming up, get your man in and get him on the ground and get him to see what he's going to bring. So as much as Martin O'Neill, I think, will be a massive miss to Scottish football, I loved everything about him, the way he went about his business, even with the press that you're talking about, stories and stuff like that. He must have been great for the club just to be around the place and the way he treats people. So it'll be a big miss, but it's time to move forward for Celtic.
Charlie, you said, you know, you want the sack the board stuff to stop because the board aren't going anywhere, but what if the chants don't go anywhere either? Because I think people who feel aggrieved, whether you agree with that or not, they're pretty determined about it.
Don't get me wrong, I mean, I wasn't happy with the board in the transfer window. I thought they dragged their feet on everything. But if you look at it, maybe they were having problems with Brendan Rodgers that we don't know about before that, and they weren't wanting to spend money because they didn't think he was going to be there. The length of time, I mean, maybe they thought he was going to resign before he did.
Yeah, listen,
lots of things.
We're kind of constantly reopening old wounds about transfer windows and stuff, which is fine, but, you know, Charlie's right, there was still a lot of those chants last night to branch into another sideshow. The Green Brigade had banned that those seats were now covered. The front few rows of the rail seating section, standing section, whatever, was covered last night. I don't know. Do you think that does... is that... presumably it's not the ideal environment for Wilfried Nancy to walk into? Or does it not... or how much difference does it make, I suppose, is the way I should phrase it.
I'm not too sure. Obviously, you would like to see that resolved. I don't know if it's going to be resolved anytime soon. You know, there's still a lot of unhappy supporters out there, just going back to the AGM and stuff last week. So I don't know. I really don't know. I think from the football side of it is where I like to focus. They just need to keep winning games. And this guy needs to take over from, you know, a guy who's won 7 out of 8. We're getting into a really important period. Cup finals round the corner.
How do you think it'll go if you flip the coin and say
go the other way? Like,
go the other way. All of us.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
it's one of those ones where it's not really worth thinking about.
There's three massive games.
You're saying it's not a given, and it's not a given. But Celtic are expected to go and beat St Mirren in that League Cup final. They've got themselves back into the... I didn't think they were out the title race, but they've reduced that gap back to zero. And the result, you know, you don't want that result in Feyenoord to mean nothing. I was on the show last week saying about Europe. They've got an opportunity Thursday night. So, listen, it's three huge games.
Thank you to Charlie. What about Kevin in Castlemilk? How are you feeling about it all, Kevin? Is it a bit mixed emotions at the moment with all the Martin O'Neill farewells and everything else?
Hi guys. Nope. I think, to be honest, he's covered everything I was swearing up to say.
You'll be able to say it better than us. That's the way to look at it.
No, I think he's kind of covered it. I'm not a bit gutted Martin O'Neill was left. Personally, I would have loved him to stay on a wee bit extra for the cup final, but that could be nostalgia. is the last call I said about the board, the chance. I think they do need to stop, but I also think the board dragged their feet with Wilfred Nancy. I know it was paperwork. It was probably a big Celtic fan that held the paperwork up because they wanted to keep Martin Hill. But Martin Hill done a great job for us twice, and I'm not excited about Nancy, but like our previous call says, I've not done much recent. I know he does like a three, but we don't have the players to play a three at the back. So I'm excited to see how he does. But from what Martin O'Neill had done, it was amazing just to see him a cheerio last night. Hopefully not the end. Hopefully he goes into the board or something. I heard a wee rumour about that. I don't know.
Were you there last night, Kevin?
No, I was not.
But you just saw the scenes coming in afterwards.
Coming in.
Surely, right, of all the things that you could do, because you're right, managers are going to want to... It would damage his credibility if he sat back and said, do everything that you've done before, you don't need to listen to me, just shoot, you boys crack on, I'll put my feet up, right? That would be ridiculous. Surely he can't go to three at the back already.
No, I agree. If I was coming in and I had a look at what was happening, I would stick with it just now, because I think that the three big games coming up, you need that stability first and foremost. And then gradually... When, as Kevin quite rightly points out, right now Celtic don't really have the personnel to play three at the back unless you put Tierney in there, which is capable of playing. But then you've got three left-sided players as a balance. Obviously, they've not got a good balance with that.
The wee guy Sarachi, who would maybe play on that left,
injured last night,
picked up another injury as well. I just don't see them.
I think it would be a massive risk.
Yeah,
I think you put yourself under pressure.
Give yourself time. I agree with.
Because when would you coach it? Seriously, when would you coach it? He came today. The first team would have been off.
Yeah.
They'll have one proper training session tomorrow, and then whatever. Then you would probably do a bit of shape on Saturday. Yeah. Is that the way the schedule would work? You walk through.
Yeah. I think so. I just don't see him. I think he'll come in. He'll take his time. He'll have done his homework on some of the players, but. It's like everything else, you probably get a feel for players when you get onto the training pitch with them. I think Martin O'Neill probably did that, you know, and started using boys that he'd maybe seen something in that maybe Brendan hadn't seen, because he used players that Brendan hadn't really used. So he'll get a feel for that, but I don't see
and
him
there's
changing.
There's no doubt he's probably had a good conversation with Martin O'Neill. You know what I mean?
We don't know. I mean, he hadn't last night, obviously, because it was so busy. Well, it would be today.
Yeah.
How important do you think that is, Kevin? A handover, if you like. Maybe ask Wilfred Nancy. I believe he's doing some media tomorrow. Do you think Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney will sort of present to him what they've done, and he'll try and keep bits of it in place for now?
Yeah, I definitely imagine they must have some sort of conversation. I was going to actually ask you guys, better than the known myself, like Sean Maloney's role now, what's he going to be doing? Because surely he'll play a part, because Martin O'Neill made quick decisions to bring in back in Arnie Ingles and Rio Hatate. Looks back to Rio Hatate, which is great under Martin. So I don't know where Sean Maloney's role is and the whole Wilfred Nancy setup, but I'm hoping he's still integral to it.
I mean, it was the official communication so far hasn't mentioned anything, and Wilfred Nancy thanked Martin and Sean for the job that they had done.
Right.
Could you read into that's him saying that's it,
yeah,
over?
But he's got to keep one of those backroom staff that know the club inside out.
Well, because they're employed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Gavin Strachan's still there, and Stephen McManus had stepped up.
I mean, he's bringing in, what, three, four?
Certainly Kwame Ampadu, who's Ethan Ampadu's dad, isn't he? He was... that was said to be the link from Exeter with Paul Tisdale. I think he was was he the head of youth or something like that at Arsenal? He's certainly coming.
Even that in itself,
I'm quite keen to find that out
even
tomorrow.
Even that in itself is something new to Celtic in recent times. I mean, even Postecoglou came here virtually on his own, didn't he? So, you know, you have to go back to maybe Brendan the first time bringing his coaches. It doesn't
even
happen.
Even that, John Kennedy was there.
So, again, it just... I described it as a new chapter last night, but it's a new chapter in the midst of a season.
Thank you very much to Kevin. Before we go any further, let's take a look at the game at Tannadice as well. So get your calls in on that, because it was quite dramatic. It probably felt like a good ending, Rangers fans, but then when the dust settles, it's more drop points, you're further behind, and lots to get through from talking points in that game as well. So give us a call on Tannadice whilst I tell you about this.
For kids, Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Proud to support the local community.
Right, Cash for Kids have already received applications for over 16,000 disadvantaged children in the west of Scotland, and unfortunately that demand is so high we've actually had to pause applications for support. There's just not enough money to go back out, but that is why we need your help. We've got a great opportunity for you, because all we're asking is that you donate £5 to Cash for Kids, and in doing so you enter the draw to win a brand new car. It is a JQ5, brand new, worth tens of thousands of pounds, got all the mod cons, and all you have to do is text the word car to 84901. You donate your fiver to Cash for Kids, and then you might drive away in the car. It is the ultimate win-win. Gordon DL has gone along. He's had a look. We filmed it. By 7 o'clock, you will be able to see the video. Don't mean to put you off, but think the worst episode of Top Gear you've ever seen, mixed with the worst version of James Corden's Carpool Karaoke you've ever seen, and you'll land somewhere about what him test driving this car is like. Would that be fair?
I think that'd be fair.
Good.
Yes.
Right, well, make sure you check it out. The lines close 6 p.m. Saturday the 13th of December. It's over 18s only. Every penny of the donation goes to Cash for Kids. You can cancel your donation and remain entered by replying cancel within 60 minutes, but please don't do that. And all the rules are at Clyde1.com. So that's text car to 84901, and a big thank you to Arnold Clark.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly are here. Loads to get through from last night. I am certain we can return to Celtic. Very busy on the phones in that regard, so keep the calls coming. What about Tannadice? Rangers fans, more drop points, further behind in the league, but if it gives you any encouragement at all, you at least created more, because that's been the problem, hasn't it? The even dreaded XG was mentioned in the last couple of nights has been extremely low, creating nothing. The chance creation was better last night, but then other bits of the game let you down. So give us your thoughts. Let us know what you took away from it. A few big talking points in that game as well. William is a Rangers fan. How would you sum up last night, William? I mean, it feels great when you score a last minute equaliser, but that's not really enough for Rangers at the moment, is it?
Yeah, hello, Gordon and Simon.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, William.
Yeah. Why come on about the manager and the performance, right? I've reading some socials today, and your Daily Record hotlines and things like that, they want rid of the manager. What? See, these people, are they daft? Are they crazy? You know what I mean? We all know the quality squad's no great. We all know who's done it. Your Thirlwells, your Stuart Miles. Probably gave us the worst Rangers squad in history. But this guy, Danny Rowe, right? I know he's going to come back, but he's got improved players now, but Rangers are definitely playing better under him. That's undisputed, right? All right, but he's lost some key players to injury.
You could dispute bits of that, William. I mean, like, the weekend was as bad as anything that was served up earlier in the season, was it not?
But that's my point, Gordon. The quality of squad's no great. You
no,
know
no,
what
but you're saying they're playing better under him.
We're definitely playing better under him. Last night we played. Yeah. We'll go to the game tonight, right? Last night, right? I thought we played quite well. We should have definitely won that game. There's enough chances to win about five games, in my opinion. You know what I mean? The defending, yeah, I think Jack Butland's got a lot to answer for. Just stay in your line. What are you doing, Jack? You're coming off his line and he's dropping and the guy chips it. Just give the guy something. Just give the guy it. Let him think. Have the shot. Stay in your line. You know what I mean? Because there was three Rangers players conversing on that, but you know what I mean? The big decision, mate. Jack made it easy for him.
Jack Butland can stay in his line there, because quite often this season he's come off his line and done really well. I'm thinking Livy and stuff like that. If a guy chips you, he chips you. You know, I think you stay, you end up looking daft.
Yeah, exactly. I disagree. I think the problem at the backs are two centre backs.
Sorry, see, just quickly to start on William's main point, because look, you may well have read it, and I'm sure you'll always find somebody, but I don't think many Rangers fans are taking this out in Danny Rule, are they?
Not that I know. But I do think that there's a transfer window needed, because there's a lot of players in there are deadwood, I would call them. I think the centre-backs are poor. I know Fernandes apparently had a very good game against Falkirk, but last night defending, it's too easy. I think Rangers give you so many opportunities to get goals against them. I think that's something he will need to address. And then you've got the forward line, you've got three centre-forwards up there that can't score a goal. So you've got problems.
But here's the thing, because we said that after the weekend, and the stats are there. I know not everybody's into XG and all that stuff, but the stats were there. Rangers were creating next to nothing. Their chance creation was mid-table. It was about sixth in the league. They're not creating chances for the strikers. Last night, though, they did. They created far more, as William says.
Come on.
How are we going to get away from? Whatever Chermiti does, the spotlight is on because of the.
I think.
Just total confidence is lost.
Yeah, I think because he kind of is aware of all the pressure. It looks as if the young guys, not even to get
is
any
that proper,
purchase on that.
Is that
either?
Proper sitter territory?
For me, it is. I think you've got to score that. I really do. I think that's as good
to,
a chance as you would hope for as a centre forward.
Contact with the ball where you're. I mean, it does go by him. He's got to put more purchase on that. But I think everything's weighing on the boy's shoulders at the moment. Just how you get out of it, I don't know.
Yeah, I think, and I can't see it happening. I think he's got to start scoring goals. That's a brilliant chance for him last night. That gets him up and running, a bit of confidence. I know he got a goal against Kilmarnock, and even that one, you've got to have a look at the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper helped him out there. But last night, that was a great opportunity for him. Look, we've all missed chances. We've all missed sitters, centre-forwards. Everyone in the world will tell you they've missed a sitter. But when you're really needing a goal and that opportunity is created for you, you've got to hit the back of it.
It's more drop points, William. The gap's getting bigger. How do you feel about the task that faces the new manager in the table at the moment?
Well, let's be honest here, Gordon. The task was monumental at the start of the season under Russell Martin. That's the real reason we're going to be well behind in the league anyway. This is just like Danny Rowe to try and get his players in, try and make us better. The league was gone. I remember I phoned in, I conceded the league before a ball was kicked. I don't know if you can remember that, right? But no, the league was done when Russell Martin came in. Danny Rowe just has to get his. That's my whole point with this. These people want with him and all that. Just check the Daily Record hotline if you don't believe me, right? It's unbelievable, right?
No, I believe you. I don't think there's many. Honestly, I don't.
My opinion is, right, he needs to get. This guy needs to be given every minute his contract. We cannot get rid of another manager. The American boys will not allow this to happen. This boy is going to get every year, like Gerrard got, right? He wasn't great in his first couple of years, turned it around. This boy needs to get every minute, every window, get his own players. You can see last night with his attacking style, there could be things to work on there. If he gets every minute his contract, every player he needs, he could do well for Rangers. That's my opinion.
I don't think he'll get every minute that he needs. I hope that he gets time. But and if you're a Rangers Celtic manager and, for instance, you get the January transfer window, you bring in maybe two or three of your own players and you don't see the improvement, then you're not going to get every minute. I know what William's saying, and I do agree, you can't keep sacking managers. But unfortunately, that's the industry we're in. And the fans turn against you. We've seen it a million times. Then all of a sudden, the trigger's pulled. But I do believe that it should at least get end of season, two transfer windows, and then see if he can kick Rangers on. I do think he's a good manager. I think he'll do very well for Rangers. But he just needs that little bit of time just now.
We're a bit late for Beat the Pundit, but I do want to get your thoughts in the first half of the show before we move on, and we can revisit later if people fancy it in the phones. Any complaints about the penalty that Rangers got at the end?
When I first seen it, I thought that he played for it, I've got to say. Mm. But looking back at it, I think it was probably a right decision.
Questionable.
Yeah.
I think if it's your
team... Well, he knows what he's doing.
You're looking for the eye and you're playing for it.
Because he gets there first, doesn't he? And then you're always doing the...
Look, I think...
He said that Jim Goodwin doesn't...
Jim Goodwin was fine with it. Similarly, Jim Goodwin, this is, I've kind of loved this week in just a twisted way, right? Because I remember Liam Scales handball at the weekend, and instantly Twitter was full of people, that's a disgraceful decision. And then Liam Scales said after the game, it was probably a handball and a penalty.
McGregor slacked him.
Yeah. Last night, again, scandalous decision to give Rangers a penalty. Jim Goodwin said,
Yeah, it was probably a penalty. And he also didn't have many complaints with the Manny
handball.
Fernandez handball. He said he thought maybe he'd got his hand down by his side in time. So this is the opposition manager. You don't agree with him, by the way, but it's just interesting because usually if somebody's going to lead the charge in the opposite direction, it would be those who are directly affected.
When I seen the Fernandez one, I thought that might have been given. Yeah, I thought it might have been given. But I do agree. I think he's trying to get his hand down as quickly as he possibly can. And it does hit his hand. There's no doubt in that. But I said about skills as well. I hate this rule about the handball and everything like that. It's very unfair for me.
Well, now we're really late for Beat the Pundit, but we can revisit. Give us a call and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it's Beat the Pundit time. Your chance to win a sign ball or a coin and humiliate Gordon DL or Simon Donnelly. What more could you want from a Thursday evening? 0141 951 1025 and the lines close at 7.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL are in the building. Please join them on the phones. Let us know all your thoughts on last night. There was loads. Five big games, big results, late drama, moments of controversy. Martin O'Neill's gone, Wilfred Nancy's in. What more could you want? Pick up the phone and let us know. Oh, and there's a World Cup draw tomorrow as well. Hopefully. Who can I get? I'm looking at the timing. I think we could get that live on the show. That would be amazing.
Brilliant.
Get Hugh Keevans to dress up in like the national robes of whatever country we get, of everything on standby.
Curacao.
I don't know what they're wearing. Curacao. Are you still hoping for them?
Yeah, Dick Advocate.
Do you want a wee bit of glamour though? Let's throw a wee Argentina in the mix, or do you want an easy, so-called easy pot one team?
Am I right in saying if we get Mexico, we play the first game?
I think there's a good chance, yeah.
Bring that one.
Oh, you think so?
First game?
Aye.
Although I'm scarred after Munich.
No,
you
we don't
know
want
fine well
game.
About France 98 as well. Can we just...
I think they had a better performance in France than
that. Clearly, surely. Wouldn't it be hard?
But bring it on.
Okay, we can maybe get to that, get your wish list in. We'll certainly do that tomorrow night. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. You lost the other night, did you not?
No.
Marv, I take it back. You didn't even play, but it felt like you lost. Have you heard this?
No.
There's a video out there on social media. Make sure you check it out on our various social media platforms. The question was, which Scottish Premiership manager shares their surname with a famous singer from Mississippi? Right? The answer
I thought it was a band.
Elvis Presley. Stephen Presley.
Oh, you were thinking along the same lines as me there.
So what did he go for?
No, he thought... First of all, he kept calling it Mississippi. And he thought I was asking for who's the lead singer of a band called Mississippi. It was just utterly bizarre. And it took us ages to get over it.
You've heard the song, didn't you?
No.
It's Elvis Presley, right? Just move on.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, we're going to play tonight with Drew, who's just along the road, presumably, in Clydebank. How are you, Drew?
I'm all right. How are you doing, panel?
Yeah, not bad, Drew. Have you ever played before?
No, well, me and my pal have phoned in a few times wanting to get on and never managed it. The two of us are wanting to play DL, but...
Hold on, are the two of you there just now?
No, it's just me, I'm in a bath actually.
You're in the bath?
You can't lose to a guy in the bath.
Hold on, Wednesday night's my bath night.
No, do not send me any pictures, that's absolutely fine.
Let's see a 40.
No,
you got a rubber duck in there?
Yeah, cut a candle, a whole day lot.
This would be a you real low for me if you lose to a guy in the bath.
You can't play Beat the Pundit in the bath.
I don't know. You do loads of stuff in the bath.
Oh my god.
Right, well, listen, that's the way it goes. An extra pressure tonight. Well, you'll not be feeling pressure. You're relaxed in the
exactly.
bath. But for every question you get right, Drew, we're going to donate £10 to Cash for Kids Mission Christmas thanks to our friends at Cairnhill Structures, okay?
Okay,
good. But at £260 for that so far, so it's a nice wee uplift. So yep. Even if you don't win, but we hopefully Drew can give us money and win as well. The blue side of the coin will be Simon Donnelly, and the red side of the coin will be Gordon DL. And it's blue for Simon Donnelly.
Come on, Drew, the bubble bath.
Simon, I've got words of advice. Don't get distracted by the mental image of Drew in the bath.
Yeah.
Or Gordon in the bath.
Tell me something.
You've already got that in your head, haven't you, Sova?
Oh, that's it. I've won.
What? Are you picturing Gordon DL in the bath?
No, Drew.
No, he is now, though.
I don't know what's worse.
He is now.
You probably.
Oh, Wednesday's my bath
with the bubbles all around him. Oh, no.
Focus on that.
I do the candles as well, Drew.
Get the music on.
Right, what we'll do here is give Simon something else to listen to. Drew, in the bath, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No worries.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds starts now. Who was Celtic's top scorer in Martin O'Neill's interim spell?
Griffiths.
Cyril Dessers left Rangers for which Greek club?
Palk.
Name any player who scored after the 90th minute last night.
Bajrami.
In what decade did Kelly last win the top flight?
70s.
Name any Scotland player from the last squad with just one cap.
Bowie.
Who's the only current Scottish Premiership manager who did not play professionally?
Roll.
Okay, let's bring back Simon Donnelly. Can you hear us?
I can.
Quite tough tonight, aren't they?
They're hard.
See, I don't see like when he listens in.
He was, Drew was splashing around while he was playing. Yeah, really off-putting.
Yeah.
I don't like when he listens in.
Put it this way, Drew.
I'm not even going to look at him.
No.
I don't. He's got a mischievous grin on his face tonight. I don't know why.
Maybe you need to go off to a good start or you've got to drown like Drew.
Right. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who was Celtic's top scorer in Martin O'Neill's interim spell?
Sometime.
Kenny.
Cyril Dessers left Rangers for which Greek club?
Pass.
Name any player who scored after the 90th minute last night.
Bajrami.
In what decade did Kelly last win the top flight?
60s.
Name any Scotland player from the previous squad with only one cap.
Pass.
Who's the only current Scottish Premiership manager who did not play professionally? Three. Oh, he's
Martindale.
Passed the last question.
David Martindale.
Oh, was it? Hey, I'll decide. Okay. Who are you dishing out the answers? Bathman.
Bathman.
That was a stinker.
You had a stinker. I told you, if you didn't go off to a good start.
I know, but you're
you know he didn't go off to a good start.
The first one as well, to be fair.
Drew, honestly, Drew had his head under the water in the first did question. It? Absolutely. It was
blowing bubbles.
It was wrong on so many levels because.
I know, right?
Who was Celtic's top scorer in Martin O'Neill's interim spell? Drew clearly thought we meant his first spell, but then he said Lee Griffiths anyway, who was somewhere in between. So it was Johnny Kenny. That's an outstanding answer. No offence.
You take it back.
I was certain you wouldn't get it.
No,
I think that's one point, to be fair.
Four for Johnny Kenny, three for Maeda, two for Ingalls, Negrin and Callum McGregor. That is a great answer. You're one up. However, none of you knew that Cyril Dessers went to Panathinaikos. So it wasn't Palk, Drew, it was Panathinaikos. You just passed it. So 1-0. Name any player who scored after the 90th minute last night. I would have given you Bruce Anderson. I think it was about on or maybe round about then. Nadine Bahrami certainly, and Richard King. It was about midnight by the time those two scored, and both of you went for Bahrami. So it's 2-1 to Simon, and we now have a tenner in the pot for Cash for Kids. In what decade did Kelly last win the top flight? Simon went 60s, Drew went 70s. It was 60s. 3-1 to Simon Donnelly. Name any player from the last squad with only one cap. I'm not trying to make Drew feel better in the bath, but I thought he did okay because that one's a kinda, can go against you. You're guessing the decade. He went Kieran Bowie, which is a good educated guess. I mean, you just passed it. You took the coward's way out, but it's no Kieran Bowie, I'm afraid.
How many caps
he's got two.
He wasn't
in the last squad either.
Yeah, okay.
Liam Kelly, Josh Doig, Andy Irving or Conor Barron. Tough question that, I think, under time pressure. Mm-hmm. And the only Premiership manager who did not play professionally is David Martindale. He didn't.
Did he only get a tenner for Cash for Kids?
Get him on
it. Yeah. I sound like the type of guy that comes on and makes excuses for the team. I don't think Drew's that bad. Genuinely, I don't. I think they were quite tough.
They were tough.
I could have been dealing with my mate. I think he would have seen that.
In the bathroom?
Would he have got the taps? Would he have been up at the end of the taps?
Would you go like... What would your seating arrangement be?
No, you need to go the same end. You can't get down the taps.
Right. Go the same end.
Okay. So both facing this, right. I'm not going to ask. Never mind. Drew, it was... we'll keep him on for now. Just know more about both facing the same way in the bath. Who's your team, Drew? You're a Rangers fan?
Yeah, well, I kind of.
What do you mean? You turned your back on them after this season?
No, well, I sold my season ticket. I was actually trying to sell it, and then seeing me drew with Celtic, I think everybody thought that was going to be the turnaround, and some daft they bought it.
Just
scunnered. Absolutely scunnered. No, we've moved on from. Just don't you try and bask in the glory of this.
I've bought golf clubs and tell everybody I like golf now. I don't like golf.
Doesn't even like golf. And he's bought golf clubs to stay away from going to Rangers games. Oh, dearie me.
Bad it's got.
What about last night, Drew? I mean, we've kind of, I think everybody appreciates that emotion where it's great to score last minute, but it's just, it's, you know, falling further behind.
Aye, 100%. The defence is just all over the place. The two defence centre-halves, it's just nothing there. But it's the fact that we're so much weaker now after the summer. You know what I mean? Dessers get some amount of stick. I know Gordon always spoke highly of him. Mm-hmm. But we're so much weaker now than what we were and spent a fortune. And Chermity, that miss last night, oh, Jesus. Honestly, God, there's not even a player in there, so I don't know how you get your money back for him or what you do. I don't know.
Is there anything in, Gordon, the fact that the chances were at least there last night? Now, I know this is like bare minimum stuff for a club like Rangers, but they are where they are. And some of their previous games, Livingston, Falkirk, at home as well, even if you replayed those games over and over, Rangers might not win them because some of the chance creation was so low. I think it was up a bit again for the Falkirk game. But you know what I mean? Some of them have... It's not like they've been unfortunate to not win some of the games this season. And even in the ones where they did manage to go over the line, like they had to be in the right side of fine margins with Hibs, the penalty and all that sort of stuff. But by the way, I know you need some of them. Mm-hmm. It's not to take away... But I always go back to Andy Halliday. He felt the Falkirk and the Dundee United, he said, those results are coming. Don't be fooled by winning a few games. These results are coming unless the performance level improves. Now, statistically, in an attacking sense, it was better last night. Does that give you any sort of encouragement that it turns?
Well, I've always said as a centre forward, when I played Gordon, I'd rather walk off missing two or three good chances than walk off thinking I never get a sniff of the ball there. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's a big problem with Rangers centre-forwards now. It's not the fact that, and I do agree, there's times when they're not getting chances and you've got to count on people creating the chances for you. It's their overall play. Mm-hmm. Their link-up play as well. I don't think it's good enough. So if you're at least contributing something and you're not scoring, fine, you'll get away with it. But they're not really contributing a lot for me.
Myofsky a wee bit, because just of what he did at Aberdeen, and at one point, you know, Celtic and Rangers, maybe I was all for Celtic having a look at him.
I think everybody thought
maybe just because he's in a team that only...
I think they played a different style. I think at Aberdeen he was a running in behind, they played long balls, he worked off that and he was brilliant at it with Aberdeen. But Rangers sort of play a different style of football from that. And it's not really suiting him. He's not fitting into it. But Chermity last night, when you've been under so much pressure, especially with the price tag, and I know it's not the boy's fault, and he's not scoring goals and he's not really hit the ground running, when you get an opportunity you've got to score it. Yeah, you've got to score it.
Drew, have you all but given up then on him, or is there anything that can come good of Chermity? No. Is he ever going to shake off the price tag?
No, no chance. There isn't even a player there. It's funny, when we signed him, I know that way you watch the best parts in YouTube, the wee compilations, and he just looked hopeless in that. You know what I mean? That's meant to make you, it could make anybody look like a player, but he looked hopeless in that, and he's obviously hopeless in now, but I don't know. You're just gunnered with it by now.
Yeah, listen, never say never, but he's not showing me any signs that he's going to really come back and prove everybody wrong, Gordon. He certainly needs to start finding the back of net. I don't know how he does that, because if he's missing chances like he missed last night, his confidence is even going to be lower. And he's been given... When the new manager came in, he put him in right away.
Straight away.
And he gave him an opportunity in a couple of games. All of a sudden, he's back out. So it tells you that the new manager, Danny Rule's, not get much confidence in him either just now. But look, it's his first season. Things can change, but there's no evidence to suggest that.
Okay, thank you very much to Drew in the bath in Clydebank.
Couldn't take it seriously.
Got a tenner to cash for kids, but couldn't beat Simon Donnelly on Beat the Pundit.
I was impressed with you there.
You had me beaten.
I did.
You had me beaten. You wrote me off.
But he didn't know you had got Johnny Kenny right. I could tell he didn't know that.
I had no idea with that one.
Well, let's hear from Danny Rule, he feels his side made a massive step forward in the performance last night from the draw against Falkirk at the weekend.
My job is now to find the right balance with this emotional game. The one thing is we can speak about mentality. Today as our team who fight until the end to get something. I think on the weekend we spoke about create not too much chances. Today we had chances for maybe four games. But, and this is the other part, on the weekend we had a clean sheet, and today we didn't have. Yeah, and I think if we can bring these two performances together, a clean sheet and the style how we played today, then we will get a lot of points in the future. Yeah, of course we are disappointed, and I understand the fans, I can take this, but today how we make the step from Falkirk to today, it was for me massive. And yeah, this is my review from the game.
And also from Jim Goodwin, he feels that despite all the debate, we spoke about it earlier, that referee David Dickinson was right with the two big calls. He says he thought Rangers' late penalty was correct, and he doesn't want to see penalties given for handballs like Emmanuel Fernandez's.
You know, there's a lot of tired legs out there. We're not, you know, pointing fingers at Will Ferry. It's a genuine attempt to go and play the ball. I just think the Rangers player in that moment was just that little bit sharper.
Should you have had that penalty in the second half and potential handball?
I watched it back, and you know, I know the incident you're talking about from the long throw. You know, of course, I would have loved it to be given, but you know, was if that type of penalty was awarded against one of my defenders, I think I'd be a little bit disappointed. We did see an incident at Easter Road at the weekend where, you know, I don't think Liam Scales knows a great deal about the ball in that instance either, and the penalty was given tonight. Unfortunately, it's not given from our perspective, but you know, I don't blame the officials for what happened here tonight. You know, slightly different in terms of what happened at the weekend at Rugby Park, where we had a penalty given against us that we believe shouldn't have been. You know, tonight I thought David Dickinson refereed the game particularly well, and you know, we don't look to blame him. We have to look at ourselves and see where we can do better.
I think there's something really refreshing about that, because it's so easy for managers to just use it, and mm-hmm. we're seeing it all the time. And actually, Simon and I were talking about this at the break. It feels like that we've totally all just gone mad with the level of debate you have over refereeing decisions. Listen, there are mistakes made, and I hope we keep debating them. It's been the currency on this show since it began. I would never want to get rid of that. But the amount of sort of time spent, or the way it feels like incidents that didn't even used to be debatable have now become debatable. What used to be debatable has now been labelled as a mistake. What used to be just called a mistake is now called a howler, and so on. It feels like we've upgraded everything. You know, I feel like I always hear about, oh, this manager or this group of fans says this decision's a disgrace. You know, it's one of the worst you'll see. And then you watch it and you think, that's not that. But that's a debatable call that might go. So I just thought it was really refreshing there from Jim Goodwin. We mentioned Liam Scales at the weekend. There are enough genuine mistakes for us to latch on to, I think, without like inventing other ones.
I totally agree. Refreshing, because it could have been so easy. The disappointment they must have had. He's 2-1 up,
yep,
into the 96 or something, whatever it may be, and he loses a penalty kick. He could have easily come out and made all excuses under the world, going, "Well, there was a penalty decision at Easter Road, and why are we not getting a penalty tonight?" And the Rangers player made the most of it, but he was honest and upfront, mm-hmm. you know. And it's because you're right, Gordon. The amount of times that managers nowadays, they come out and the first thing they'll do is cover their back and blame somebody else rather than just facing up.
By the way, again, to underline, there are times when that's totally justified.
Yes, so I agree.
Let's pick those times. Let's uh-huh. use those times wisely,
yeah.
rather than every single match day. We now treat debatable decisions like howlers. People mm-hmm. present them like a fact that this is a disgrace, and I think some of the language is just getting a bit boring.
Yeah, and those two incidents were presented to me. I had folks sending me them after the game last night when I was leaving Celtic Park, and it's two that Jim, and I look at the penalty, it is, you can see why it's given, but you know, there's the boys on yeah. the blind side as well.
Don't get
but
me
Jim,
wrong.
Jim's been, well, from his opinion, he's not got a problem with either of them.
I think it's important.
And it's on the back of
the weekend.
As he says, a decision at Kilmarnock.
Don't get wrong, it's important to acknowledge he might be the Dundee United manager. You're still allowed to disagree with Jim Goodwin. Sure. That's mm-hmm. the whole point of it. You can still think that it's... But I suppose it's, if he's not upset, why are you so upset? Would be the sort of
question. I think he touches on as well. It refers to the Easter Road game at the weekend as well. I think you touched on it as well. I think the handball, I mean, it's a totally different discussion, but the handball rule now, I mean,
it's hard, isn't it?
Skills at the weekend, there's no clue.
Because I know the distinction they'll draw between them, don't need to agree, is that Scales' arms were higher than Fernandez's. So you then come into this, well, this is too high, but this isn't too high, and you're getting your ruler out and you're...
See on the fact of the penalty kick, right? He's obviously spoken to his player when he came in, and his player must have said, "Look, Gaffer, you know, he's just been too quick for me. I've caught him, right?" Because Jim would have probably come out and says, "No, look, I've had a word with my player, and it's an uproar. It should never have been a penalty kick." But he's come out and said, "Look, it basically is a penalty kick. It's as simple and straightforward as that." And that's probably because he's had a chat.
Because it would
player.
Have been so easy, especially the timing. How easy would that have been for Jim Goodwin to complain about the penalty decision?
Yeah, 100%. And I like that about Jim.
I can never catch on. Anyway, good time to call. Get involved. Let us know what you're thinking. We'll get a teaser for the guys next as well.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Okay, Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly are here. It's the usual number to get involved, so please do let us know what you're thinking. Going back over last night's games, looking forward to the World Cup draw if you want. You two, oh, look at this. Simon Donnelly wants his pen back because he knows what time of the night it is, and you are right. You're going to need more than a pen to try and understand this question.
Oh no.
It's not actually that difficult once you start going through the answers. Just
read it slowly.
The wording of it is all for you, Simon Donnelly.
Oh, is it?
It's all really for Simon. You can just kick back.
Is it Celtic?
No, it's actually about his career.
Is what?
Sort of around your career. Sent in by the Crazy Pony.
Right, okay.
Right, here's the deal. How am I going to word this? There are six countries going to the World Cup, confirmed going to the World Cup.
Yeah.
That you had teammates from that country, right? Doesn't include Scotland. You with me so far? So there are six countries that are locked in. Of all the teams going, there are six that you had teammates at Celtic that were from that country. And I want you to name, if there's more than one from that, from said country, I want your...
How many spells did you have at Celtic?
One.
Did you? I thought you had two.
One.
Right, and Sheffield Wednesday as well?
That's not part of the question.
No, just Celtic.
Oh, just Celtic.
I'm reading it there again on the screen.
Oh, do you know, actually, see to be fair, hold on. I've made it harder for you because there are two from the same country. So it's six players that you played with at Celtic.
With the most caps.
That represented countries that are already locked into the World Cup, but it doesn't include Scotland.
I'm trying to think of your
team. I know that sounds difficult, but once you start working your way through them. So what countries are going to the World Cup? Shout some out and then we'll work through it and it'll seem easier.
France.
Right, did you have any French teammates that
Portugal,
were capped?
Portugal.
Cadet. George Cadet.
Yes. There you go. 33.
You teed it up now. Finish that.
33 Portugal caps. So does it make a bit more sense now once you start to hear it? Any others? Any other countries going to the World Cup that you think you had teammates that represented that country? Van Hooydonk, Netherlands, 46 caps. Yes. So
Norway. Go. You know it.
Reseth.
Yes.
Hey, mate.
Well done. Right, that's three. You've only got...
You didn't know that, did you? Just
leave it there. Come out with Norway.
Here's another one.
No. Three down to get. So thanks to the Crazy Pony for sending it in. fulltime@clyde1.com. If you want to have your say or use your question on the show, please do. We're going to go back to the phones, I think, in a second. Let's hear a bit more from Martin O'Neill talking about the incoming manager, Wilfred Nancy.
I'm sure that he will have been watching the matches in the last three or four games. He'll form his own opinion of the team. That is absolutely fine. And if he seriously would want to speak to me about my thoughts, I've got absolutely no problem. Well, that'll be up to him to make his mind up about the players, because he has essentially most of this month. He'll maybe have a totally different approach tactically in every aspect to me. I genuinely don't know.
Mark is on the line. How are you, Mark?
Oh, I'm fine. Good evening, gents.
Mark,
how would you sum up as a Celtic fan everything that's gone through your head at the moment with pulling level in the league table. I don't think we really mentioned that because of all the managerial stuff.
Yeah, I was at the game last night. They huffed and puffed. They won the game. They deserved to win the game. They made a wee bit of tough work getting the second half, where I think some of the players are tired through a lot of games. But I wanted to come on tonight and talk about the new manager coming in, and mostly how much of a fantastic job Martin O'Neill, Sean Maloney and his backroom team have done to kind of steady the ship, because they looked like a bit of a listless ship, you know, before when Rodgers left. Martin O'Neill came in, he made it, kept it simple. He did something, I wanted to say this tonight if I've got a bit of time, he did something that I thought was quite clever. You know, both managers, Brendan Rodgers as well, could not find a way to put a right-hand side winger or a striker on the right-hand side and get it working. So what he did was he put a bit of craft on the right-hand side, the Luke McCowan, and it's kind of worked so far. And it obviously it bore fruit, because we're hitting a bit of a winning streak. We're playing a wee bit of slick football here and there. So I think he's done a fantastic job, Martin O'Neill, and he deserves all the plaudits. That was my first point, anyway.
Yeah, what did you make of... Is that fair last night, Simon? Usually you expect, even Celtic score as early as they did, and at home you expect them to just kick on. It never... Never really came, did it?
No, it didn't. It didn't. Maeda had to go off on the back of getting his head.
How long was he offered, by the way? About 10 minutes.
It felt like quite a while. It felt a long time, yeah. And he came back on, and listen, I know he crashes one off the post at the death, but it kind of upset the rhythm, I thought, of Celtic. You know, after 11 minutes, you think 1-0 up, they'll go on and win this, maybe 2-3-4. It never really transpired. It was a wee bit flat second half, just as Mark's saying there. But I'd like to touch on his comment there about, I thought the wide men last week at Feyenoord was a bit of an inspirational one, because McCowan's not a winger. But
nobody predicted that team lineup, did they?
He'd came off the bench in the St Mirren game and been put up there. And then when he gets into that final third, he's got a good use of the ball, and he's involved in that first goal.
I think he did play air at times off that side. Area.
But he's not a winger.
Yeah, of course. And it's a different challenge as well.
But getting him into that area, I think, good use of the
ball. Where he's effective, if he comes in the pitch on that left foot and
picks,
he can pick
a pass for that goal.
Yeah, and he can pick a pass, he can have a shot. He's not a winger that's going to knock it by you with pace. But he's very good. It gives him a nice balance for it.
For them to identify that is quite good. And Yang coming back in, because, listen, you could look at it two ways. There's two guys that came in the transfer window there for a lot of money, and they weren't playing at Feyenoord. So he's seen things in different players, as I said earlier in the show. You go back to the two strikers, Kenny and Osmond, before he gets injured, they get chances as well, and they did well. So yeah, there's been little tweaks in personnel and different things over it, and it's all seemed to work for him.
Mark used a phrase, it's one of the most common phrases, steady to the ship. See, if you're looking for a perfect measurement of what Martin O'Neill achieved, it's quite simple. They were 8 points behind when he took over.
Yeah, I said nine.
And they're leveling points now.
Yeah.
Added to that is Feyenoord and the League Cup semi-final win against Rangers. So it's even better than that. But if you're looking for probably the ideal representation of what was done in that time, it feels like that would be it.
Yeah, he's been absolutely brilliant for him, there's no doubt. You know, the Celtic fans absolutely love him. They would have no problems if Martin O'Neill had to stay on to the end of the season. But obviously Celtic need to start going forward now. New manager's in the building. They've got to give him the opportunity. But I think Martin O'Neill, it was just the right appointment at the right time. Yeah. I would have believed that if John Kennedy had stayed on, then I think they would have been down the route with John Kennedy, because obviously he knows the club that well and was capable of what he would say steadying the ship. But Martin O'Neill was a perfect match for him, really was, and I thought he's been absolutely brilliant, and he deserves the applaudits he got last night.
Yeah, Simon Donnelly was crying, he told us earlier. Mark was
so
on
was,
the line.
So was Mark.
What about this transition, Mark? Because obviously last night, just before 7 o'clock, the new manager was announced. Everyone knew he was coming in. He's gone up to Lennox Town today. He'll do his press tomorrow. Hearts at the weekend, Roma, St Mirren. We all know the drill about the schedule. We've repeated it often enough. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, the guy that was on the phone before, it's a wee bit of trepidation, really, because I know he's got really good credentials, and he's a highly rated coach, and he speaks really well, and he's confident and open, and he's young. But, you know, he's coming into a team, but he can't really change anything, and he's not going to be able to do that for a few months at least. I don't expect them to change it to a back three or anything anyway, but Celtic just don't have the squad depth at the minute to change. You know, so all these, I'd imagine he's going to, like a few guys have already said, maybe tweak a few things and try and put his stamp on it. But I think it's going to be a slow burn with him, not because he's a bad coach, but more because this position that Celtic are in. I also think they brought him in at the right time. You know, I'd love him, Martin Lee, to stay, but if you're Glasgow Celtic and you want to progress forward, you're going to have to bring a young forward-thinking manager in, and he's going to have to plan for the future, because Celtic need a lot of work, you know, in transfer windows, and it's probably the right time to get him in. He has got a bit of baptism of fire, but, you know, he's going to... He managed the MLS, and people write the MLS off, but it's, in my opinion, it's a far better league than ours. Mm-hmm. So I mean, he's not to be sneezed at, you know. So we'll wait and see.
Good balance that, though, because it is a good level. The Scottish mm-hmm. Premiership is not better than the MLS, but mm-hmm. the expectations at Celtic blow Columbus Crew out the water. So mm-hmm. what you get on mm-hmm. one side is probably balanced out by the other. So, Mark, you're not one of those that thinks now 10 days away you'd have been as well waiting to the cup final?
No, I don't think so. Not if Martin was going to stay, I wouldn't have a problem with it, but I'm trying to look beyond the cup final. You know, Celtic have been in a lot of cup finals, and that's no me being big-headed, you know. But we need to really start putting the foot down with quality coming in and going out, and you need a guy that's going to be in permanently. And if this is the Celtic board to a much maligned at the minute, if they've hung their hat on this guy, then we've got to back him, and we've got to get Manel enough to actually make a difference. So I'd love to see Martin stay, and I thought he probably would have stayed and potentially would have went on to win the cup, and you know, but I think you've got to maybe step aside and let this guy come in and take over, and it's his to build on his own, you know.
I do agree with that, because I think that they're a big month coming up in January for Celtic. The board come in for a lot of criticism because of the summer transfer window and how they handled it. And now it gives the new manager a month and three massive games, and good games, because they're tests. Yeah. So he'll know exactly when it comes out, these three games, exactly where he is, what he needs, and who to bring in January. And he's probably got his own ideas. It'll be interesting to hear over the next coming days if he did pick the phone up or he went and met Martin O'Neill, because I think that would be a real nice sensible move. Thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure we'll find out in due course. Thank you to Mark in Cumbernauld. Before we go any further, I want to tell you about this.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, proud to support the local community.
Now, Cash for Kids Mission Christmas well underway. Are you excited? You've got the Cash for Kids lunch tomorrow.
Yeah.
Get your outfit all sorted.
It's all hanging up, ready to go.
Sunbed tonight.
No, that was yesterday.
Botox.
No, I'm not going down. What are you laughing at? I'm not going down that road now.
No,
I'm just going to be smart and casual.
Smart and casual.
I'm just going to be smart. Casual. Yeah.
On the subject of Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, you can now head over to our Instagram, Twitter, that sort of thing, and see the video of Gordon DL test driving the Jaco, the brand new car that we're giving away. Who's the guy that's taking? He looks like Ginge from I'm a Celebrity. I thought that's who you were in the car with.
He's a manager of the branch, and he's only 27.
Good
lovely boy.
Anyway, on that subject though, to bring the tone down a bit and talk serious for a second, we've had 16,000, more than that, 16,000 applications, applications for 16,000 disadvantaged children in the west of Scotland who are facing a Christmas without food, a warm home, gifts, that sort of stuff. Unfortunately, that demand's so high that we've had to pause applications for support, just not enough money to go out. That's why we need your help. And I wanted to give a mention to people who've been doing some good things. I've said the last few nights, if you're doing anything for Cash for Kids, let us know. I wanted to give a mention to Hot Totty Saunas in Luss. They're hosting a Hot Totty Freeze-Off fundraiser. Easy for me to say, this Saturday, and donating to Cash for Kids from their outdoor sauna sessions. You'll love this. Air, remember them?
Yes.
You're a legend in those parts, or at least in your mind. They're supporting us by taking donations at the game against St Johnston next Friday it is. So look out for the Cash for Kids buckets, the QR codes and the programmes, that sort of stuff. So donate now if you can, please. We'd love to have your help. It would mean the world to us. Clyde1.com/mission. Every penny raised straight back to supporting the families that need it. And it's all down to Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce, who've been supporting Cash for Kids for the last 6 years.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL are here into the final part of tonight's show. You could still squeeze in a call if you're fast, or send us a message. We've got a good teaser for, I was going to say you two, but it's really just about Simon, because the Crazy Pony wants Simon to name his six non-Scottish former teammates who've got the most caps for the nations confirmed as going to the World Cup. Sounds a bit confusing, but names like, what did you get before the break?
Cadetti.
Because Portugal are going.
Van Hooydonk.
Because the Netherlands are going.
Vidar Riseth.
Because Norway are going.
Andy Tom.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Must be an English one there.
No.
Apart from that, there wouldn't
Viduka.
Be.
Yes.
Oh, brilliant.
So is that only one to get?
One to get.
Yeah.
It is for, I think I maybe sold you a dud with this earlier on. It's for a nation that you've already got.
Ooh.
Okay, it's not a new nation. Right. Anyway, speaking of the World Cup, how's this for a smooth transition? Paul is from Giffnock. No, he's in Giffnock, but he's from Toronto. Is that right, Paul?
That's it, Gordon. Yeah.
Right. You've got that connection. Then you've got stronger thoughts on where Scotland want to be in the World Cup next summer than we do, I'd imagine. Take it away.
Well, listen, like I'm like the Dazzler, you know, it's got to be Toronto. I mean, what a town. Just almost, we got close to winning the World Series. We hosted four games. I was there 6 weeks ago. They got the billboards up, Dazzler already. It says he's coming home, the Dazzler's coming home. I mean, what a better place to have the World Cup.
Oh, I love it, Paul.
You said that was your favourite city, didn't you?
Yeah.
Toronto.
Yeah, it's my favourite city, yeah.
So, Paul, ask a silly question. That would be your dream, Canada and Scotland in the same group?
It would be, yeah. I mean, listen, I was born in Glasgow, emigrated to Canada when I was young, grew up there. I've been living here for 30 years now. It would be amazing if we got a chance, Canada, Scotland playing, and maybe even, you know, two other lesser teams. And, you know, it would just be, if you look at the Scottish connections in Toronto, the first Prime Minister of Canada, John Alistair MacDonald from Glasgow, you know, look, it's all set up, isn't it? Some of the best pipe pan in the world are from Canada. You know, I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better, could you, Daz?
That's it. We Johnny Mac, know him well. I'm with you, Paul. It's just brilliant to be in the draw, first and foremost. Yep. But I would love Toronto, I must admit.
How good is it, Simon? Because we mentioned earlier, we've stumbled across a really good stat for us. You are still the youngest person to go to a men's World Cup with Scotland.
It's about to run out.
And you are how old?
I turned 51 the other
so
day.
So nobody under the age of 51 has been to a men's World Cup for Scotland. Simon's the youngest, because he was the youngest member of the 98 squad. How good is it to be in the draw tomorrow?
Unbelievably good. We sat on this show 2 or 3 weeks ago when we qualified. It was one of the best shows I've been involved in, with all the callers that called in that night. It was brilliant. But I'm really excited for the draw tomorrow. Has Paul got digs for us in Toronto?
Yeah, we'll get them.
What do you think, Paul?
Listen, Sid, Daz, my parents' house, just Newmarket. It's just like 40 minutes to get on the GO train. Gordon will go out to your haunts back, you know, when you were out in the day.
Oh, no. They're not allowed. Right, go on. So Paul's got the kind of understandable wish list. Give me your dream scenario, you two, right? So pot one.
I'm going Argentina.
Canada, Mexico, United States as the hosts. Spain, Argentina, France, England, Portugal, Brazil, Netherlands, Belgium, Germany. What do you want?
England.
Seriously? I cannot think of a worse draw.
Why?
All the way over there,
to
World
get
Cup,
England.
To get the team next door.
You asked me
who might well beat us anyway.
England.
Oh, no.
I think the glamour one's Argentina, mate.
Argentina.
Okay.
I would love
Is Messi still involved? Messi going to?
Yeah.
Don't offend Paul. Is there a case to say that getting one of the host nations, because
well,
it'd be glamour, but I think Paul is, again, I don't want to offend him,
leaning towards Canada,
but
obviously.
He would concede Canada not as good as Argentina. Paul, is that all right for not offending you?
No, listen, I'm rooting for Scotland, because, you know, it's my birth home, right?
Good.
You know, I it's great that we're there. That's all that matters.
Perfect. Right, so glamour, you've gone Argentina.
Argentina, yeah.
What is the easiest of the pot one? Are you looking at those host nations? I say easiest.
Yeah, about Canada, probably.
Right, okay. Mm. Pot two, Croatia, Morocco, Colombia, Uruguay, Switzerland, Japan, Senegal, Iran, South Korea, Ecuador, Austria, Australia.
Australia.
Australia?
Mm. Quite like the sound of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd take that.
So you've gone
Canada, Australia,
England, Australia.
Canada, Australia. We're on the route to win the World Cup in your mind. Okay, we're obviously pot three, and then pot four. Still got some playoffs and stuff to sort out. But so far, Jordan, not the one you followed on, not the one you followed on Twitter, the country. Jordan,
I'd take that.
Stop. Cape Verde, Ghana, Curacao, Haiti, New Zealand.
Cape Verde, mate.
Cape Verde, Haiti, or Curacao. So one of those
the debutants.
One of those three. And we'll probably get beat.
Right, okay. So remind me then to recap.
Zaire,
Simon Donnelly, give us your dream World Cup.
England, the old enemy, Australia, and Curacao.
Argentina, Cape Verde, the last one, and I would go Australia. Oh, I think that'd be good then.
Paul, what's your wish list? Canada, obviously. What else?
Canada as Australia in pot three.
Two, yeah. So they would be...
Yeah. Pot two. Oh, yeah, so Canada, Australia, us, and Haiti.
Brilliant. Love the sound of it. Brilliant. Very good. Thank you very much to Paul on the line, who we are going to stay with if Scotland make it to Toronto, if they get drawn there. And remember, tomorrow night, I mean, it'll probably last hours, and I don't know, what have we got? Donald Trump, the village people, all sorts of madness. But I'm hoping that we'll get the kind of official bit of Scotland's draw live on the show here tomorrow night. So that'll be amazing. It'll be really good. Make sure you tune in, and we'll see what Hugh Keevans has to say. I wonder if he's booked his flights yet, because he's getting a bit of pressure from the grandkids to take him over. But thoroughly looking forward to it tomorrow. You excited?
Yes. Yes. I'm going to be tomorrow, so I might miss it. The draw. So when I land,
do you remember the draw for 98?
No, not really. No.
I mean, I must have
been sitting watching it, but I can't really remember, no.
What do you think will be going through the players' heads? I think
just excitement. I think, like, the 2 Euros have been at have been great. Obviously, we didn't really perform as well as we'd like, but the World Cup's on a different level for me.
Okay, we're looking for one more of your former Celtic teammates
who has
been capped for a country that's already going to the World Cup.
Is he Dutch?
No. You've got Andy Tom, Vidar Rousseff, Pierre Van Hooijdonk, Mark Viduka, George Kadetti. There might be another one, but we're looking for the top six in terms of caps. So this guy's got 17 caps for Norway.
Who were you thinking?
Reggie Blinker.
No, this guy's got 17 caps for Norway.
Brattback.
Yes.
Harold.
Remember him? Did he ever score any significant goals when you were at the club?
Just one.
All right, thank you very much to Simon and to Gordon. Rest up. Big day for you tomorrow.
Yep.
Cash for Kids lunch.
Yep.
Nice and early, suit on, looking your best, behaving, and then the World Cup draw. Tomorrow evening. What cannot wait for tomorrow night's show. Make sure you join us at 6. We'll have a good old time no matter what that draw throws up, and enjoy the rest of your Thursday.